Father, we worship you. We worship you for who you are, Father. We are yours. We just declare that we are yours, Father God. We are yours, spirit, soul, and body. We love you with all of our strength, with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our might, Father. We are yours, Father. We just thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's just good to take a minute and worship Him, isn't it? Sometimes you just need to get quiet before the Lord and let Him talk to you. Did you know that? Sometimes you just need to give God an opportunity to say something. That's what these meetings really are about. Is it's an opportunity to get away from your normal routine and to hear what God has to say to you. True, there is a message to the body of Christ, and we believe God for that utterance to come. But more specifically, God has things He wants to communicate and impart to you as an individual throughout the week. And it's easy, especially since we have these things. It's easy to get distracted. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever taken out your phone to take a picture of something, and the next thing you knew, you'd been on Facebook for 15 minutes, or Instagram, or Snapchat, whatever it was?
Amen.
See, I knew it. See? Well, now I got to train the youth helpers. It's easy to become distracted. And that's one of the reasons why God, in His wisdom, put self-control in us as a fruit of the Spirit. Remember Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So you need to stir up some self-control and put this thing away for an afternoon. You know, between the meetings, we're going to meetings in the morning, we're going to meetings at night. Between the meetings is a phenomenal opportunity to be quiet. It's a phenomenal opportunity to be quiet. Because you've been in an atmosphere where the Word can say something to you. And now, when you get quiet in that time between the meetings, you give the Spirit a chance to say something to you. And the Word will guide your life generally, but the Spirit will guide your life specifically. What am I supposed to do with my life? That's a fantastic question that I cannot answer for you, nor would I dare to. But I know one who can. And He will. He will. Well, what if I don't like the answer? Well, you have to trust Him. Remember what it said in Proverbs chapter 3, starting verse 4, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, and He will grant you the desire of your heart. He will grant you the desire of your heart. Well, I don't want to move to China and be a missionary. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. See, you not wanting to do something is your own understanding of yourself. But you need to not lean on that understanding. Instead, you need to trust in the Lord. And how many of you have some desires of your heart? I'm not talking about new shoes or new clothes, right? I mean, we all do. I'm talking about some desire. Something on the inside of you that burns, right? How many of you have a desire on the inside of you that's just a little frightening if you stop and think about it, that if you let it, it could really consume you? Do you know that God put something like that on the inside of all of us? Let me give you an example of what I mean. For me, it was to serve God. As I was growing up, there was a desire. There was something in my heart that burned to just serve God. And it was a little scary because I could be a little OCD about it. Trying to be at the church all the time, you know, in all the understanding I had, doing what I knew to serve God. And there was some times when I was like, ooh, this is a little bit stronger than I understand. And I tried to run from it. But you know that God put that in there? God put that in there? I went to youth camp with a young man that I have lost track of. But he was a phenomenal drummer. Just one of those, you ever meet somebody that's just an amazing person? You know, just they're just a great human being. And this guy, what burned on the inside of him was to worship God. And every opportunity he got, I mean, it was the same kind of a thing. It was a little all-consuming if he allowed it to be. But on the other hand, he was a phenomenal musician. He was a great human being. And there was an anointing on him that was really something special. Because he didn't lean on his own understanding of himself. He trusted in God, and God fulfilled the desire of his heart that he didn't even know that he had. Because the first time that I met him at youth camp, he didn't even play drums. He was kind of into video games. Okay, not kind of, a lot. But something happened that year, and then the next year, he was radically transformed. See, because he thought he knew what he wanted. Turns out he didn't have a clue what he wanted. We have gotten way off of our theme, but that's okay because I would rather have what the Spirit of God wants. And this morning he did tell me to talk to you about a specific thing. If you would, turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. It's important to not lean on our own understanding, not just in the big questions of life, but also in some of the smaller questions of life. Like, for instance, who do I hang out with? Who do I eat lunch with? Who do I go see movies with? See, those aren't necessarily huge life questions, right? But they are just as critical as what do I do with my life? The Spirit of God told me some time ago, he said, the ambition for acceptance or the fear of rejection is the torn ACL of this generation. Anybody know what your ACL is? A ligament in your knee. It's a very common sports injury. But what happens is, when that ligament is torn, if it's not properly repaired through surgery, and then properly rehabilitated with physical therapy, your knee will become stiff, locked in place, and unusable. It's a pretty common injury, but it has some very severe consequences if you don't get it taken care of and can be very painful. That fear of rejection is a torn ACL. It's a torn ligament in your life. And if you don't care for that properly by letting God do surgery on that fear and remove it from your life, did you know you can make some decisions with your friendships that will, over time, lock your life into a course that you don't want to be on? So is it the big question of what do I do with my life? No, but you know what? It can really give an answer to that question if you're not careful. You know, our theme here started out with high voltage. We were talking about conducting the power of God. And I have a fantastic sermon that I'm about 50% sure we're never going to get to.
Hey, that's good.
That is good. It's okay. Because, you know, that always leaves us next year.
Amen.
Amen. It does leave us next year. I'm glad you agree. But, you know, if you don't have the right friendships around you, you won't properly conduct the power of God. Excuse me. You won't conduct it correctly. Are you in 1 John? Chapter 3, verse 13. I'll read this out of the New International Version, or as some people like to say, the nearly inspired version. But I like the NIV, and you can tell Pastor Perkins I think it's anointed. So, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. Don't be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. That should not shock you at all. I have a lot of compassion because this truth is probably one of the most difficult for you to accept. Because you're trying to find your own identity. You're trying to find your place in the world, how you fit. You're taking those first steps towards your own independence and building your own life. And sometimes you can have the thought, I didn't do anything wrong. Why does everybody make fun of me? Why do people hate me? Why do I have to work twice as hard just to be accepted as anybody else does? Right? You can have that thought. I'm just as good of a ball player as any of these other guys. Why do I have to work three times as hard just for the coach to put me on the court? I'm just as sweet as all these other girls. In fact, I bake them all cupcakes every other week and they still don't like me. What did I do? It's not about you. Your acceptance or rejection by men has nothing to do with your good looks or lack thereof, your stunning personality or lack thereof, your sense of humor or your lame jokes, which are amazing.
That's good.
See? They agree. It has nothing to do with whether you're physically fit or not. It has nothing to do whether you wear designer clothes or not. Whether you're accepted or rejected has one thing and one thing alone to do with anything. You carry the light. On the inside of you is the light. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the word is the light of men. It's in John chapter 1 where it says, and the word became flesh, and the word dwelt among us, and that word was the light of men. You carry the light. That is what this is all about. That's why it says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren and sistren, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Why? They hated Christ too. And he's in you. He's in you. And they hated him. Did you know
There are people that you will encounter. They don't even know why they don't like you. In fact, if you were to actually pin them down and talk to them, they would say, well, I don't really have any reason not to like you. We both like baseball. We both like hot dogs. We both enjoy the same things. Right? There's no reason I shouldn't like you, but I don't. I'll tell you why. It's because they're not saved. Or if they are saved, they're not yielding to those fruit of the Spirit. Or they don't have a renewed mind. Right? And so because they're not yielding to the new nature within, they're yielding to the enemy who is without. And they don't like you because there's light on the inside of you.
Amen.
So be it. The God of this world wants you to presume that in order to be accepted by your peers, you have to turn your ambition away from pleasing God. And this is a really good place for me to tell you, there's this word that I've been using. It's the word ambition. You should know what that word means. Ambition is an earnest desire for some type of achievement or distinction. An ambition is an earnest desire for some type of achievement or distinction. Many times it's associated with power, honor, fame, wealth, the willingness to strive for some kind of goal. That's ambition. Do you know that more than money, power, wealth, fame, people have an ambition to just be accepted? I just want people to like me. I just want people to like me. Well, for people who aren't saved, there's a good chance they aren't going to. That's why the Apostle John told us, don't be surprised. Yeah. Don't be surprised. Do you know another thing that he could have put in there, since he's telling us not to be surprised? Don't be bothered by if the world hates you. Don't let that bug you. Don't let that affect you. The God of this world wants you to believe that you'll have to turn your ambition away from pleasing God and turn that desire toward pleasing your friends, classmates, or the popular crowd, transforming you from being spirit conscious to being acceptance minded. Have you ever done something, don't raise your hand because I know it's totally all true, have you ever done something for the pure purpose of someone else accepting you?
Amen.
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 Okay. See, it's true. Told you. It was true anyway, whether you admitted it or not.
That's good.
See? I love you guys.
I too.
See, isn't this fun? Anyway, I'm having fun. It's a heavy revy, but it's a heavy revy that'll save your life. It's a heavy revy that'll save your life. When you set a goal or undertake an activity, you really have to ask yourself, what's the real reason you're doing it? Are you making your decisions to act a certain way, be involved in certain activities, and do certain things because you just want to be accepted? Or is it because God told you to do it? Is it because, well, this is what my family does? Or is it because the Spirit of God led you into it? Two of the worst reasons for anything. Number one, because this is how we've always done it. That's a horrible reason. Number two, because I want people to like me. Also a horrible reason. Wouldn't you prefer to have people in your life that like you because of the things you do, Like that not because you do it to get liked, but they like you because you're principled. Because you do it because you believe in it. You're passionate about it. You love it. You have there's something that drives you in it. And so people are attracted to you because of your principles. Right? Wouldn't you rather that than people that like you just because you bring them cupcakes on Tuesday? You missed your opportunity yesterday, just by the way, to bring me some cupcakes. See, wouldn't you prefer that? Because do you know, whatever you do to gain your friends is exactly what you'll have to do to keep your friends. So if you gain your friends by acting a fool and making fun of people and generally being a jerk, if you're going to keep those friends, guess what you have to keep doing? Acting a fool, being a jerk, and making fun of people. And there'll come a point when they're going to get bored with just the same old, same old. And if you want to keep those friends, you're going to have to step it up and you're being a jerk, acting a fool, and making fun of people. And here we are 3 years now down the road, and you're a person that you really don't like. Torn ACL, your life's becoming locked in place. Pretty soon the joint will be frozen, and now it can't be moved. Problem. It's a problem. If you want to conduct the power of God, you have to choose your friends very carefully. Very carefully. Well, God hasn't brought me any friends. He hasn't led me to anyone. Has it come to this that you have to spend time alone with God? Gasp. Do you know that he said he's the friend that sticks closer than a family member? Well, I want to go hang out with some people. Well, maybe God wants you to hang out with him. You know, going back to school, this is the subject. This is the topic, right? During the summertime, you get away from all your friends, you're around your family more, you get to go to Summer Fire Youth Camp or Gym Family Camp meeting. Shameless plug for Summer Fire Youth Camp. If you didn't come this year, you missed out. Anyway, sorry. Shameless plug. Anyway.
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. Should have been there. Anyway. Anyway, sorry, joke in my head. The thing about it is that you might have to spend a season of your life just you and God. You might have to do that. But he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's the one that rejoices over you with singing and dancing. How many of you got friends that when you call them, they rejoice with singing and dancing? Yeah, me either. But God does. How many of you, let's just take it a step further. How many of you have family members that when you call them, they rejoice with singing and dancing? Me either. Isn't that interesting? But God does. God rejoices over you with singing and dancing. It's worth spending some time alone with Him. It's worth it to spend some time alone with Him. Let's go to the Gospel of John. I want to just establish a couple things really quickly. Actually, sorry, go to the book of Acts first. Acts chapter 4. This year, God said to me, there's four things that youth need to not just survive, but thrive in this era of time. I don't have time to go over all four of them. We're going to focus on one today. But number one, four things that all teenagers need if they are going to not just survive, but thrive in this era. Oh, and by the way, how many of you know that you are the church of today? You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. But you're going to be the leaders of the church of tomorrow. What? Yeah. You're a member of the church right now. Right now.
Amen.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're on board with that. But you're going to be the leaders of the church of tomorrow.
That's good.
See, it is good. It is a good thing that you're going to be the leaders of the church of tomorrow. If you want to carry forward this revival that has begun, because did you know that without you, the revival won't continue? This is the revival that's supposed to bring Jesus back. I really don't want to go around the mountain again, because the last time we ran around the mountain, just if you're ever curious about it, Dad Hagen said in 1982 that was supposed to be the revival that brought the Lord back. But it got off, got messed up. People got into wrong doctrine and error, and the whole revival kind of petered out. You know, it's been 30 years. I really don't want to spend another 30 years going around the mountain if we miss it. Do you? I mean, that's longer than most of you have been alive at this point. So if this revival is going to continue, it's going to need you. It's going to need you. You're the church of today, but you're going to be the leaders of the church of tomorrow. And so this is important, because you don't just want to survive in this era, you want to thrive in this era, so that when you assume that mantle of leadership, you can carry it farther than it's gone so far. Right? Well, I'm not called to preach. Who said anything about preaching? How about just being a good Christian? Amen. By the way, the world is not ready for a good Christian. In fact, the world is trembling in fear for someone to be a good Christian. Because do you want to know what the Bible calls a good Christian? In Acts chapter 6, Stephen, who was a man full of faith and power and wisdom and the Holy Ghost, that's a good Christian. And he did signs, wonders, and miracles among the people before they stoned him. Because the world is terrified of a good Christian. The Apostle Paul was a good Christian. Here's another one. Did you know we have no record in the Bible at all of Silas preaching very much? I shouldn't at all. It says he encouraged some of the brethren. So obviously he had some kind of a thing in front of people, but it doesn't say he ever preached. We don't have a record that Silas was a fivefold minister of the gospel. Do you know that? But it was Paul and Silas that on the second missionary journey strengthened all those churches, started new ones, went to Thessalonica, went to Athens. Some of the greatest revelation of Paul's ministry came out with Paul and Silas. And that we have no record that Silas was a fivefold minister at all. But here he assisted with that move of God, with that era of God. Isn't that amazing? So we never said anything about being a minister. We just talked about being a good Christian. And there's four things that you need if you're going to thrive in this era and one day assume the mantle of leadership for what God's doing right now. Number one, you need a vital and living connection with your senior pastor. Not optional. Need it. have to have it. I didn't say with your youth guy. I meant with your senior pastor. Because it says in Matthew chapter 9, the sheep are scattered not for want of a youth minister. The sheep are scattered for want of a shepherd. And if your youth minister, if I am worth my salt, I do my whole job is to connect you with your senior pastor. To say what he says, do what he does, that's my whole job. So that way, when it's time for you to graduate and you go to the main service, you're like, oh, well, there's no difference here. Number two, just leave blank for a minute. Because we're going to come back to it. Number three, you need the joy of the Holy Ghost. And it is a process to learn how to yield to the joy of the Holy Ghost. Because your mind does not want to do it. And your flesh sure don't want to do it.
Well, I'm upset. Those people mistreated me and that teacher did me wrong. And I got failed my history exam. And I'm just mad. I'm going to be mad. In fact, I'm going to be so mad that everybody else in your group is going to be mad with me. Because I don't want to be alone and be mad. That's weird.
You might not consciously think that, but that's the role that it's on. And it might not be mad. It could be, oh, my boyfriend dumped me. I'm so sad. My friend, she gossiped about me behind my back. And, oh, my mom, she hates me. She makes me do all these chores. And I wanted to wear this dress, but my dad said it was too short. He doesn't like me either. He won't give me freedom of expression. I'm just sad. I'm so sad and depressed. Sarah, can I tell you about it so you can be depressed with me? That's the answer you should give. Unfortunately, people aren't always that obvious. See, your flesh does not want to yield to the joy of the Holy Ghost. Your mind does not want to yield to the joy of the Holy Ghost. But did you know that it is a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. Joy and happiness are not the same. Do not think that joy and happiness are the same. Joy and happiness are far apart from one another. Not even in the same sphere, really. Now, joy will bring happiness. And sometimes, joy is a byproduct of happiness, but not usually. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a decision. So that's number three, is you'll have to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Be skilled and practiced in how to yield to it. Especially when you don't feel like it, when you don't want to. Number four, a mature spirit. You need a mature spirit. I will refer you to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's book, Growing Up Spiritually, for more information on number four. I will refer you to the Gem Vault on number one and number three. All right, now you have that blank space for number two. Number two, the thing that you need to not just survive but thrive in this era is a company of good friends. Acts chapter 4. See, I didn't forget where we were. I know you were questioning it, but I didn't. I'm not just talking about some buddies you hang out with. I'm not talking about your chat group on the internet. I'm talking about a company. I'm talking about a band of brothers or a band of sisters. The Greek word company has several different meanings, but one of them, which I think is very appropriate, is the same as what we would say in the army or in the military, a company. A group of soldiers working together. A group of soldiers fighting together. You need a company of good friends. Why? Because don't be surprised, my brethren and sisters, that this world hates you. You need some people that don't hate you. you know that? Acts chapter 4. Verse 23. And on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. They went to their own company. See, they were just out in the world. And the world put them on trial. Did you know the world put them on trial for praying for a guy and getting him healed? How messed up is that? Let's just stop saying, okay. Let's just stop and think about this a minute. How many, and you can just say a lot because you probably don't have a figure. Have you ever thought about how much money actually goes into hospitals? How much money goes into doctors and medical equipment, right? Do you know they are investing billions of dollars to figure out how to fix a broken spine so that people can walk again? Do you know that? So see, there are people out there that they are trying to make this happen, right? And here comes Peter and John. And they say to that beggar who's there, he can't walk, he's paralyzed. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the dude does. And the whole city is excited except for this one group of people, and they're all upset that he got somebody healed. How messed up is that? If the person would have went through surgery, they'd be, oh, look at this, it's a miracle. But when God actually did a bona fide miracle, they're all mad. Why? Don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. They hated our Lord, and they'll hate you. So you need a company of people that don't hate you. And the devil wants to confuse you and get you all twisted up and tied up in knots as to who this company is. Your four closest buddies at school are not your company.
Well, they're all right guys.
Sure, I'm sure they are all right guys. But do they encourage you to do the daily Bible reading? Do they talk about the things of God with you? Do they encourage you to obey the leading of the Spirit? If you say something inappropriate, do they call you out on it? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I have 22 pages of notes. We are on page 1.5. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Don't be deceived. You know what that tells me? 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Don't be deceived. You know what that tells me? You can be. You can be. You can be. Don't be deceived. Bad company. Bad company. Bad company. What does it do? Corrupts good character. Did you know God put good character in you? You got to develop it, of course. It doesn't just come like apples falling off a tree, right? But God put good character in you. If you want a guarantee that you will have bad character, have bad friends. Let me put it this way. If you want to guarantee a life of mediocrity, a life without honor, a life of frustration, have bad friends. Have bad friends. There's a famous motivational speaker. He said, show me your five closest friends and I'll show you where you're going to be in 5 years. Bad company. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. The good things in your life are corrupted by the wrong friends. Upon being released, Peter and John went to their own company. Interesting side note. Does anybody know what happened in Acts chapter 4 after they went back to their own company? Does anybody remember the story? They prayed. They were assembled together in one accord. Then what happened? Anybody know? Anybody know? The place where they were assembled was shaken. In other words, when they were in the right company and they came into unity, they transmitted the power of God. When you are in the right company and you are in unity with that company, in the things of God, you'll transmit the power of God. You'll shake some stuff. What are some signs that you might be in bad company? I'm glad you asked, because I have an answer for you. If I can find it. That's the problem with 22 pages of notes. You got to remember what page you're on. Number one, which you don't have to number them, just put dots by them, because I don't guarantee to finish this list. And I really don't want you to be disappointed like I am when I don't get to finish a list. Evidence of a bad friendship. Increased levels of stress. Right underneath it, you can put a sub-bullet, added drama. Anybody have a friend that likes drama? Yeah. You can only hang out with them so long before you're like, dude, I'm done. Dude, I'm done. How about this? A weakening of faith in God. A weakening of faith in God. How do I tell if my faith in God's been weakened? I have an increased desire to please people. Or I don't care about the things of God anymore. How do I tell if my faith in God is being weakened? I have an increased desire to please people. Or I don't care about the things of God anymore. Here's another sign of wrong friendships. This one you ought to star, highlight, underline, circle, write in red pen. Go back over, like double underline it in a different color. Big one, right here. Your friends will attempt to separate you from godly authority through strife, deceit, or manipulation. Your friends will attempt to separate you from godly authority through strife, deceit, or manipulation. I don't know why your dad won't let you come hang out. He's just so unreasonable. Man, what's up with your pastor? He just corrects you on how you dress. That teacher's out to get you, you know. They just don't like you. That's why they gave you a C. Strife, manipulation, deceit to separate you from the authority God put in your life to help you. That test alone makes most of our friends fail. Because as soon as a friend tries to separate you from your parents, I don't mean make you move out. By the way, you shouldn't be 26 and still living with your parents. That's weird. You also, I just got to say it, I really don't understand the whole not driving trend. If you're like 25 and you don't have a license, that's weird. That's weird. That's a refusal to accept responsibility. That's a refusal to accept responsibility. That's a refusal to take upon yourself the mantle of independence and grow up. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is those friends that try to separate you from the wisdom of your parents, that try to get you to not honor your parents' instruction and word. Right? And we've all had those friends. Some of them are our siblings. What's the right thing to do in that instance? Stay on the right side. No. My pastor is trying to help me learn how to honor the things of God. So, and quite frankly, he was right. Those clothes were inappropriate for this, for what we were doing. Whether you agree with it in that minute or not, err on the side of your pastor. Defend them. No, my dad's not being unreasonable. We just had a busy week as a family, you know, and my dad's just looking out for me and just wants to make sure that I'm rested and I can, you know, be doing well in school next week. Doesn't matter if you agree or not. Err on the side with authority. That's how you put a stop to that mess. And, well, what if they stop being my friend? That's a good thing. And you might have just realized you were in a relationship because you were more concerned about being accepted by someone than you were with actually having a friend. I'm not going to get through nearly all of this. How about this one? More evidence that you're in a wrong relationship. Negative, demeaning, maybe defaming responses from the people around you when you become passionate about the things of God or obtaining God's promises by faith. In other words, when you make a stand of faith, people start talking bad about you. People get mad at you. They start to put you down. Right? I'm believing God for the money to go to youth camp. Why do you need to go to youth camp anyway? You know, I'm believing God that I can get off work this summer so that I can go to all the meetings at Gym Family Camp meeting. That's stupid. Church is dumb. I thought you were smarter than that. Have you heard things like this? If you haven't, when you go back home, you will. And now you have the tools to know what they are. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. We're going to skip around a little bit, but I want to give you some verses before we go. Ephesians 1, 13. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You were included with Christ. Go back to John chapter 17. Everybody's from Spirit of Faith goes, John chapter 17. By the time you graduate from youth, your Bible better fall open to John chapter 17. Verse 20, this is Christ praying. He says, my prayer is not for these disciples alone, but for anyone that will believe on their message. Have you believed on their message? You can go ahead and raise your hand. It's okay. Have you believed on their message? Okay, let me ask this a different way. Is Christ your Savior? Okay, you believed on their message. So you qualify. That as all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. How many of you believe that God the Father and Jesus are one? You're just as much one with God the Father as Jesus is, because you are one with Jesus. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, and I have given them the glory that you gave me. You are one in God. When you accepted Christ, you became one in Christ, and then you became one with God the Father because you were one in Christ. You were included with Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to skip back. I told you we're going to skip around. But you need to see these truths. You need to write them down. You need to get them. You were made a new creation. You heard Pastor Ike yesterday morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you have been made a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What is the new? You are one with God in Christ. You are included with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, and you he made accepted in the beloved. And you he made accepted in the beloved. If God accepted you, who cares what people think? You know the God that created the universe? You know that guy? The God that led Israel out of Egypt and the whole 10 plagues thing? That guy? Ooh, I know. The guy that split the sea. The guy that held the sun in the sky. That guy. The guy that sent fire from heaven, and it didn't just consume the whole altar, it licked up all the water and all the ground around it. That guy. Oh yeah, oh, I totally forgot. The guy that brings people back from the dead. Him? He says you're all right. He accepted you. If God be for us, who can be against us? What can man do to me? He accepted you. He accepted you. Let's go to 2 Peter. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Can't read my own writing. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You were included with Christ. You've been made one with God. You're accepted in the beloved. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You're a chosen people. You're chosen. You were included. You were made one. You've been accepted. You were chosen. Are you starting to get a picture of how God thinks about you? Are you starting to see that you're a big deal? Go back to verse 4 in 1 Peter 2. As you come to Christ, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God. You're one in Christ. You might be rejected by people, but you are chosen by God. Brethren, don't be surprised if this world hates you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with Christ. You accepted Christ. They rejected him, but God accepted you. God accepted you. Well, how do I find the friends that God has for me? Mark chapter 11, verse 22. You might want to write that down. Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. That if any one of you would say unto this mountain, be removed and go throw yourself into the sea. I like what the message says. It says, jump up and go throw yourself in the lake. And you would not doubt in your heart, but believe that you would have whatsoever you would say. And whatsoever you desire, if you stand praying and you don't doubt, then it'll be done for you. Do you desire a company of good friends? Then Mark 11, 24 is how you get them. Pray to the Father and say, Father, I ask you for a company of good friends. I ask you to lead me to my company. And then, because whatsoever you pray, whatsoever do you desire when you pray, if you don't doubt, it's done for you from that moment on. Thank you, Father, that you're bringing me to my company of good friends. Thank you, Father, for my company of good friends. You can kind of get an attitude about it, too. Thank you, God, for my company of good friends. Because it's you got it. Right?
Yeah.
If I gave you a set of keys, I got to think of a better car because the one that came to mind I don't actually like. If I gave you a set of keys to a 1968 360 Camaro convertible, SS, yellow with black racing stripes, black leather interior, no Ella, no flames this time. Yellow's a good color, right? If I gave you the keys and I said, I don't have the car here, but after service, if you want to ride with me and Miss Melissa, I'll take you to get it. Here's the keys. You'd get an attitude, wouldn't you? I got a car! Right? You sure would. Except for Ella. She'd be like, no thanks. Can I not get one that's yellow? See, I gave you the keys. It's already, I gave you the keys. I gave you the title. It's yours. It's your possession. Are you going to be excited even though you haven't seen it yet? Don't even lie to me. Yes, you would. You would be beyond ecstatic.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. You would be. Same thing. If you pray and ask God for a company of good friends, be excited that God's brought you your company of good friends, even if you don't necessarily see it right now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sarah, would you go to the piano, please? Just give me a 1-5-6-4 and C. To that one. Thank you. So today, before we dismiss, if you would like hands laid on you for strength, if you would like an impartation, or if you just need to be filled again with the Holy Ghost, then I want you to come up here. If you'd like hands on you for strength and impartation, or just to get a top off of the Holy Ghost, then come on up. Don't be shy. Instruction of how to be in a ministry life, because sometimes it helps, right? So the first thing is, don't necessarily pray in tongues. Pray in tongues is given out. Stand there just a little bit. Crowd me. Pray in tongues is given out. Instead, be in an attitude of worship. Father, I receive all that you have for me. Thank you, Father. What I'm about to receive. I receive it, Father God. That as soon as hands are laid on me, I thank you that I receive it all. So So that's the first thing, is be in an attitude of receiving. Number two, just hold your hands out like you're going to receive a gift. Well, that seems obvious. Well, that's because it is, and most people don't do it. So just be in an attitude of receiving. And if you just hold your hands out like you're expecting something, right? Because that's what Peter and John said to the man at the gate called Beautiful. They said, look on us. And the man looked, expecting to receive. So expect to receive. Number three, it's just best to close your eyes and not pay attention to what else is going on. Because it's about you and God. Not necessarily about you, God, and all these other beloved people. Right? And if the power of God hits you and you feel like you're going to fall down, just go ahead and fall. We got ushers. That's their job, is to catch you. Right? So let's just practice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I receive all that you have for me. I receive every impartation. Thank you, Father God. You three boys, get up here. You ain't going to be the only ones sitting out there. I ain't having it. Get down there on the end of the line by Miss Natalia. You're going to be in use soon enough anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just receive all that you have for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just receive. I receive all you have for me. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, all that he needs. In Jesus' name, all that he needs. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yeah, just receive. Just say, I receive it now. I receive it now. I receive it now. Yeah, go ahead. Just receive it. Thank you, Father God. Strength for the way. Strength for the way. Strength for the way. Strength for the way. Yep, strength. Yep, just let her go. You got to let them fall, guys. Thank you, Father. Strength. Yep, 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 yep. Hallelujah. I know what you came for. Strength. Yeah, yeah, you'll become acquainted. Don't worry about it. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All she needs. All she needs. Whew. Yeah, filled up. Filled up. Yeah, go ahead. Give expression to it. go ahead. Go ahead. Don't stop till you're done. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Oh, yep, fill her up, fill her up. Yeah, fill her up, fill her up. Yeah, 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 stay there, Anna. Yeah, fill her up. Woo! Ha! 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 Yep. Go ahead and learn how to laugh, Allison. You're going to need it. Yeah, go ahead, girl. Yeah! Yeah. Ha. Oh, Daniel, I see you in the future. Oh, I see you leaping. I see you running. Oh, I see an expression of the Holy Ghost through you. Oh, because you found your people. No, just go ahead and receive it all. In Jesus' name, all she needs. Oh. Yeah, yeah. You don't got to go looking for a company. You'll draw one. You'll draw one. Be the ringleader. Thank you, Father, for Jonathan. Yeah, yeah. Don't look at me. Look to the inside. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. This is what you've been waiting for, Landon. All that you need. Oh! Just receive it. Micah, all you need in Jesus' name. Shh, go ahead. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Come down here just a little bit, Anna. Come down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Misty. Misty. Banda to Gurista. Do you got something, honey? Gaston de Robosti. Beast. Historias. If you are at your seat, just practice stirring it up. Yeah. Yeah. Ha. 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 Ha.
Oh no, I'm gonna be like my mom.
You better believe it, buddy. Yeah, just yield to it. Just yield to it. Just yield to it. Just yield to it. You'll get in a place you didn't even know existed. Come here, Levi. Or come here, Landon. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Laugh with it. Laugh with it. Just like you just did. Yeah, don't you stop. Don't you stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Anna, this is the... Go ahead. Just hold your hands out. God has something for you. I know you received a measure, but God has so much more. Now, I know you're saying, this isn't the flow. This isn't the flow. Don't rest. You stop. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's all just lift our hands. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Do you got a song, Sarah? Something to end with? Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord.
I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me. I am changing, I'm set free, 'cause of you who lives in me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. I just command a blessing over all of these teenagers, Father, that they go home reignited. They go home unashamed. They go home with boldness and utterance in their mouth, Father. I just pray, Father, that the word be a fire shut up in their bones as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing that two more times as